We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome back to the Three Mob Podcast. I am John Kurtz, joined as I am every week by Cole Manbeck and Derek Young. You know, Cole, former beat writer for the Manhattan Mercury, Derek Young, currently with K-State Online. And as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, we have a very special guest today. That is the new quarterback of the Kansas State Wildcats, Adrian Martinez. After a phenomenal career at Nebraska, three-time team captain at Nebraska, he comes into the Wildcats squad this year. And Adrian, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Really excited about this conversation. And I do have to say, Cole pointed this out to me before we started in some of our notes about this interview. He was like, man, we're bringing on a guy who has his own podcast. Like, you know, we think we're pretty good at this whole podcast thing, but, you know, you have a pretty popular podcast yourself. So I don't know who actually should be conducting the interview here, but tell us about your podcast, man.
Yeah, most definitely. It's called Athletes Unfiltered, and we started it up about a year ago now. And it's been a really cool journey. You know, I think podcasts offer a great platform for anybody really just to voice their opinions and tell some untold stories. So it's been good for me.
All right. Well, where can people check that out if they want to hit it up?
Yeah. You know, it's available on Spotify, Apple Music, really anywhere you can listen to podcasts. You can listen to Athletes Unfiltered.
Okay. There you go. So yeah, as soon as you're done here, go check out Athletes Unfiltered and listen to Adrian there. Well, all right. You were, like I said, pretty high profile quarterback coming out of high school. And then when you're hitting the transfer portal out of Nebraska, you wind up coming to play for Coach Klieman in K-State. What's life been like since making that decision and since getting to Manhattan?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. You know, Coach Klieman and Coach Klein have done nothing but help me in this transition. You know, being in a place for 4 years, you just get used to the way things are done, you know, done a certain way. And, you know, you just get so accustomed to it. And not that, I mean, college football is college football, but just the little things, you know, like what we do in the weight room, what, you know, the little sayings on the walls, you know, just little things like that, that I feel like I have to completely immerse myself in. You know, they helped with that transition. So it's been really good. I've loved it so far. And, you know, there's what I came to do is still out there to do, you know, like yeah, I still a lot to accomplish, but I feel pretty good about where we're at right now.
Adrian, I want to divert back to your podcast a little bit. I've listened to several of them, and I listened to your one in February where you talked about your broken jaw. And for many of our listeners that don't know this, and K-State fans that don't know this, you broke your jaw in the first half of the Michigan State game, knew something was wrong, ended up playing the second half. And afterwards, instead of having your jaw wired shut or surgery like a lot of people would have, you decided to tough it out and have a unique procedure done, 6 screws put in your mouth. You were blending steaks, I heard you say. So I just wondered if you could maybe expand upon that. And for K-State fans just don't know how tough you are and how good of a teammate you are to do that and play the second half of the season.
Yeah, it was, you know, a unique experience, to say the least. You know, that Michigan State game, it was the first possession, and it was a third and long. We ran a quarterback draw. And a linebacker got a piece of me, and the safety coming downhill hit me right underneath the left side of my face. And instantly, I mean, my face was on fire. You know, it was burning up. I'm not one to really just like lay on the field. You know, I don't really believe in that as much as possible unless you can't get up. Like I always reference Kobe Bryant. He tore his Achilles and the guy walked off the court and shot a free throw. Like if you can be like that, do it. And for whatever reason, I was like stuck on the ground and my face just blown up. So we, like, I don't know what's going on. We run back to the locker room and we go and try and get like an x-ray done. And there's like this technician in there, Michigan State Polo, and she's taking her sweet time. Like, no rush at all. I'm like, hey, like, we got to get this going. She's like, could you fill out a couple of these forms? I'm like, do we not have all the information you probably need on me? Like, what are we doing? I go in, take the x-ray, like, with my shoulder pads on. They don't really see anything, but like, I can tell something's off. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, nothing's showing on there. Like, let's just go. And in general, my face, I had like an underbite and it was a little bit to the left. And when this happened, my whole face was shifted and it was like swollen over here on this right side. And I mean, like, okay, whatever. We run back out, like, and another issue, I never wore a mouthpiece. So after this, I'll always wear a mouthpiece. I don't think that's why it happened, but I'm sure it didn't help. But finished the game. It was a tough game. Obviously hurting pretty bad. The next Monday, go get a CAT scan, and they're like, yeah, you broke your jaw. It's a fracture. So there's these little things. I don't know what they're called, but they help, like, keep your jaw in place. And this one was facing this way. So it was, like, completely snapped in half right here. And I was like, okay, what are my options? And initially it was season-ending surgery or get your jaw wired shut. And then upon, like, further consulting, because being a quarterback, you got to be able to talk, got to be able to make audibles, whatever it is. The Mayo Clinic, Vanderbilt, different doctors we talked to, we thought the best strategy in order for me to keep playing, which is what I wanted to do, is put screws in my mouth and rubber band my mouth shut so that took the place of wiring my jaw shut. And I'd eat, you know, eggs for breakfast and lunch, had milkshakes to fill the calories in between. And yeah, I'd grind up some steak, you know, during team dinners. So it was definitely a journey.
And when you had the screws put in, I mean, you told a story about you had the rubber bands, you had to go to press conferences, you wanted to keep it a secret, right, from the public, not only to protect your own safety, but for other reasons and not opponents finding out during games. But you would remove the rubber band so people wouldn't see it when you went to media and press conferences?
Yeah, it was all sort of part of a strategy, if you will, you know. But yeah, I would remove the rubber bands right before press conferences. Like, there'd be a weekly press conference on Monday, remove them, post game, remove them. But in the game, I'd have them in. But any sort of like public type sighting, I would have them out, or I just keep my mouth closed. Like, and even then, like in press conferences, you could see the screws if I opened my mouth wide enough. So like, they'd be like blue buds poking out of my gums, like up here and down here. So if I were to smile too wide, like, someone could get a glimpse of it. So I had to kind of keep that under wraps as best I could.
Yeah, Adrian, not to dwell on the injuries, but obviously the torn labrum kind of kept you out for the spring. Just how is that process going and getting medically cleared and stuff? Because I think Coach Kleiman has shared you started to throw at the end of the spring football as well.
Yeah. Feel really good about where I'm at. You know, I feel damn near at 100%, if not 100%. And the recovery's been really good. You know, Mindy, our trainer, and the strength staff did a really good job of bringing me along. I felt like I attacked the weight room and did all the things I needed to do. It's something I've been through before, a labrum surgery, so I kind of knew what to expect, and I think that helped me as well. Yeah, I think right now the biggest hurdle for me is just continuing to hammer home the playbook and be good on the field. I feel really good about where my arm's at.
And how do you feel about, I guess, connecting with some of your teammates going forward? Because I know you didn't get to do that a lot in the spring, but it seemed like, you know, that we spoke to some of the receivers already. They started to see what you could do on the field towards the end of spring ball.
Yeah. Which got me excited. You know, I'm more of a believer that performance is leadership and leadership is performance. So you have to be able to show you can get it done on the field in order for guys to follow you, you know. And me being, even if it was a small sample, I feel like I did a good job of showing the guys what I'm capable of doing and on the way to earning their respect. And I'm going to continue to do that this summer. I think I have a great opportunity with our workouts, with our captain-led practices, those type of things to further prove that. And this summer we have some downtime. It's definitely an opportunity to get to know the guys on the field and off.
And last one for me in this round, a lot of the offensive players that they kind of shown excitement for like this new offensive system that Coach Klein is implementing, because it's been different than what they've ran at Kansas State. Just what has been your reaction to it and how it, I guess, it's conducive to your skill set or been different from what you've learned?
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's interesting is it's different for them, but it's also different for me too. You know, it's not like completely comparable to what Nebraska was running, but I'm really excited about it. I think it makes us really multiple, which I think we have the skill to do it and smart enough guys to get it done. And I think Coach Klein is a really innovative young coach. So it's fun. It's fun for me. I feel like I'm on the cutting edge of something we're doing here.
You know, for us, we have not seen a lot of like no huddle tempo sort of offense. And there's been some, you know, trickling outs in the media setting about that being in the offense. Like how much of that have you seen and how, I guess you answered this a little bit, but how much do you think this offense is well-suited to kind of execute on that if that is a part of what the offense is going to be?
Yeah, I think Coach Klein's goal is really to be able to use tempo and be able to use, you know, maybe K-State's offense philosophy in the past as well. Like, you know, whether that means huddling up, slowing it down, but also being able to speed it up and use tempo. And I think that's what the best teams do. I think that's what NFL teams can do. And what we want to do. So I feel good about the way we're executing it now, but that stuff just takes a lot of reps and we're getting there and we're adding new things. But I think the guys are excited about it and they know it can mean more big plays and more, you know, more opportunities for us to score.
You know, again, you seem like a guy, you're not making any excuses at all. And I love that about the attitude that you have, but if I can make a few for you, I mean, all the injuries that you went through in your career at Nebraska and still gutting through all that and playing through it and, you know, some of the all-time records that you have at Nebraska through all of that. But yet, I think a lot of people look at the wins and losses and, you know, how much do you feel like there's something to prove? Like, hey, I'm healthy now. I'm at a new spot, kind of a fresh start. I can really go out and show just everything that I am as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That is how I feel. You know, I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for me to finally show that I can be all that my potential is, if that makes sense. You know, I feel really good about the attributes I have and my skill on the field. Now, let's put it all together. Let's get some wins and let's do this thing. You know, I feel really confident about that and that this is the situation to do it. There's some incredible pieces, incredible players on this team. You know, I probably the most talented squad I've been able to be a part of. And that gets me excited, you know, and I think it's a great opportunity for me to take that next step.
Adrian, what was it about Kansas State as you were going through the transfer portal process that really caught your eye, the system? I heard you mention that, you know, you wanted a fresh start. You wanted to play in a little different system to showcase some of your different talents, play against some different defensive schemes. So what was it that drew you to K-State and the system and play?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it was a combination of things. Yes, the system, the coaches are a big piece of it, personal piece of it. And, you know, I felt like it gave me the best chance to reach my dream, which is getting to the NFL. And all those things kind of combined into that. Yeah, Coach Klein, when he was sort of pitching me the idea of what he wanted to do offensively, it really intrigued me. And it was something that I knew I could be successful in. For multiple reasons. I mean, one, I want to show I could play quarterback at the next level. And I think this system offers you the chance to do that. And two, you know, I've made a living off running the ball a lot. And I want to continue to run the ball. You know, I think that's a big piece of my game. But when you have Deuce, I'm not going to be number one ball carrier. You know, it's going to be Deuce. And I can play off that. So I feel like that combination – with Coach Klein, with the skill players that we have here at Kansas State, I feel like it was a tremendous opportunity that I couldn't pass up, you know. And it also happened that, oh, my girlfriend goes here. I have a couple buddies who go here. It was like a perfect storm for me that I just couldn't pass that opportunity.
Well, on the topic of Deuce, Adrian, so I think the last 3 years in Nebraska, you led Nebraska in rushing attempts. Now, I know that includes scrambles and sacks as well, but yeah. You were obviously running the ball a lot. You led the team in rushing yards each of the last 2 years. Now you do have a guy like Deuce, an All-American running back that can take a load off of you running the ball, help maybe keep you healthy, take some of those hits off of you. How big of a draw was that? And also just him, having him as a security blanket in the passing game. We know he's a tremendous receiver out of the backfield. So what was the draw like to come play with a guy like Deuce?
Yeah, I mean, his resume kind of speaks for itself. I mean, All-American, the guy can do it all. And 100%, I hope I can take some pressure off his shoulders as well, you know, in the run game and in the pass game. But having that sort of outlet, I mean, I've watched some clips from the last season. We'd throw a check down and he'd run it 75 yards for a touchdown. I don't think I've ever experienced that in my life. And I would love to be able to experience that this upcoming year. You know, oh, I throw a dump here and he takes it for a touchdown. Like, I think he's a quarterback's dream as far as a running back, a guy you can count on passing or running the ball.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, another thing, you visited Cal, I know, and I think everyone was kind of under the impression that maybe that was the only opportunity on your table when you chose to pick Kansas State, and you've kind of told us why. But wasn't there plenty of other options that you had when you did pick the Wildcats? It wasn't just Cal, right?
Yeah, right. I went through the recruiting process one time. I just didn't feel like I needed to share that type of info with everyone, you know, whether – it was the offers I was getting or where I was going to visit. I didn't tell anyone that. Some people just figured it out. You know, I don't know how. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, those type of opinions just don't matter to me, you know, or posting offers or taking recruiting pictures. Like, I don't – like, why? You know, it's just not the point of what I'm trying to do. So, yeah, you know, I had some other schools, and it just didn't really fit the criteria of what I was looking for. And, you know, that is what it is.
One of the main criteria for a lot of recruits now is name, image, and likeness and all the stuff that's been out there. And it's kind of just enveloped the recruiting space at this point, maybe not as much for you guys in the past, but especially for current. I guess I wanted a player's take. Obviously, you'll be at the head of the room a lot. Just how much are you guys wary that it could impact the locker room at all when you got this guy making this much and this guy making that much? Does it ever creep into your head, or is it something you guys have to be mindful of?
Yeah. I think it's something players and coaches need to be mindful of. My understanding has always been like, hey, if you're making plays on Saturday, those are the guys that kind of get paid, get the deals type of thing. You still have to be successful to get those deals. So I think most guys can kind of understand that there's a sort of hierarchy to that. But it is challenging, you know, and it can definitely affect a locker room dynamic. And it kind of depends the kind of guy that is. I will tell a little quick story about the guy on our team, Shane Porter. He's, you know, kind of famous on TikTok. He's famous on Instagram, but he's a great dude. He's a great dude, you know, a really good locker room guy, works his tail off, puts in the extra work. No guy has a problem with him. You know, when you have that kind of guy, I think it's necessary. You put in the work and you earn the respect of the guys. And he's done that, you know. Now, I don't know if it's like that everywhere in the country with, you know, every guy that's famous on social media, but it is what it is. It'll be interesting to see what kind of legislature they put into place, because something needs to happen. It's a little out of control at the moment. And I can speak personally for myself going through this recruiting process. That wasn't one of my selling points. You know, I told K-State and I told the other schools I was talking to, you know, I don't really want to hear about NIL. I'm not going to be sold on NIL. I need to be sold on the football piece, the coaches, the culture, and what we're going to do to win games next year, because that's my goal. You know, I was able to enjoy some stuff from NIL at Nebraska, and that was awesome, but it's not really, really what I was looking for. It'll be interesting to see though, what comes next in the NIL movement, you know?
Well, so I'm curious for your perspective on this then, as a guy who did the recruiting thing once upon a time when that wasn't in play. Now you clearly have a different attitude on it, which I think is going to be really refreshing to a lot of people to hear that attitude. But if Adrian Martinez were coming out as the 4-star/5-star kind of recruit that you were, like that sort of caliber, how do you think you would have viewed it? If you were coming out like right now out of high school, how would it have affected you differently perhaps?
I would have 100% said NIL is one of my selling points. Yeah, it's just different. Yeah, like I can't lie about that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, I wouldn't have thought about it at all. Now, I wouldn't choose a lesser school because of NIL. I would hope that there's a pecking order of like what is most important to you, and that NIL would hopefully be towards the bottom. I mean, the middle is okay, but not at the top. If you're just being bought, I think that situation just won't work out for you. You know, you won't be happy. You won't truly enjoy that school. That was always a thing in the recruiting process that, you know, people told me. It was like, hey, you've got to make sure you enjoy going to school there. And if you got to love the environment, you got to love this and that, because if you don't and football is going south, you're just going to hate your life out there, you know? And that is, hopefully kids are still keeping that priority.
You have any good crazy recruiting stories from when you were being recruited and pursued?
How about this? I took an official visit to Ohio State, and at the time, the QB room was JT Barrett, Dwayne Haskins, Joe Burrow, and Tate Martell was the quarterback room. And Ryan Day was the OC quarterback coach, and Urban Meyer was the head coach. So it was a trip. Dwayne Haskins was my host. Rest in peace. Incredibly sad. But he was a great host for me. But I'll never forget being in that quarterback room and just being like, oh, my gosh, it's a different level. You know, when you're coming from high school to college, just quarterback intellectually, the amount of information you have to know just totally changes. But walking around that locker room, I don't think I saw Urban Meyer blink one time. He was probably the most intense individual I've ever been around. And I don't know if it was like a good intense or just like, this dude has something going on, you know, like just walking around like that, eyes wide open. And when I went to his office, like he made me try on his rings, you know, the whole recruiting pitch. And he was like kind of testing me if I would break eye contact and just like staring into my soul. And, you know, I feel pretty confident about my social skills. So it was fine. Like I was like, all right, I'll pass this test, but it's a little weird.
Well, on that topic, Adrian, I mean, what are some of the differences of navigating the recruiting process out of high school versus navigating the transfer portal? I mean, it sounded like it was a pretty chaotic, tight timeline for you with the dead period that was looming to try and get your visits in, right?
Yeah, which I think, honestly, it kind of worked in my benefit because you cut through some of the BS that is recruiting. I mean, that's just the reality. Like, they're trying to sell you. They're going to be all nice to you and show you kind of the best version of themselves and the school. And that's not usually it's not the person you're going to get every day. you know? And lucky enough, Coach Klein is as authentic of a guy as I've been around. You know, he's the same guy day in and day out, which I appreciate. And being genuine is something that I valued. But in the transfer portal process, it was hectic and a little bit chaotic in the calls and stuff like that. But ironically, I'd say it was a lot the same, you know, besides the NIL piece, it's just kind of being bombarded by text messages, you know, graphics and calls here and shoot a DM here. And it's not something I particularly enjoyed. You know, I always felt really lucky to be a part of it, but after a while, it just gets old. And I know a lot of kids feel the same way coming out of high school. And I'm sure in the transfer portal as well. It's a great problem to have when you have multiple options and people are trying to get your interest, but it's a little hectic and, you know, it could be a brutal process.
But you also mentioned, I believe, that one of the selling points you really like K-State, they didn't pressure you into a commitment, give you a hard timeline, and a lot of other schools, you know, were trying to rush your decision. Can you just maybe expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll even throw in a reference from high school. I remember being at a campus in the South and them saying it was fine all the way until the afternoon. They were like, we have another kid who's going to commit and, you know, we want to take you, and pretty much you have to commit now. Or sorry, I got a call. I don't know if I'm still up. Okay. Yeah. He's like, you have to commit now or else, you know, like we're going to have to go in a new direction. And I really wanted to go to that school. So I made the decision and I made it faster than I would have liked, you know, and that type of thing happens all the time. I know it happens all the time, still does. And it was trying to happen to me, but I made that a point. And it's like, look, I'm 22 years old. I'm not going to be pressured into making a decision I don't want to make. So it was like, hey, we have same thing. You know, we have guys ready to go, you know, like this guy wants to come here, but we want you. So, you know, like, we'll maybe give you another week, but like, I don't know if we can hold on that much longer. And I get it, because it's somewhat of a balancing act for coaches. It's like, hey, if I go all in on this guy and he bails on me, we're kind of screwed, you know? So like, they want to have a backup plan. They want to secure a spot and have that sense of security, but it puts pressure on kids that I think is pretty unfair in certain circumstances.
Last one for me is the last three starting quarterbacks that have played for Chris Klieman have now been chosen in the NFL draft after Skyler just picked. I know you kind of touched on it a little bit that it mattered to you, but how much does it matter to quarterbacks just when they are picking schools, and just how much of an impact did it have?
Yeah, it definitely had an impact on me. It definitely did, because he has good relationships with, you know, whether it's NFL scouts, NFL teams. He knows what it looks like to get to the next level. And he is a defensive coach, but even that is an asset as well. He'll come in our meeting rooms and, you know, explain what the technique is, what the responsibility is of the defense in this given coverage. I mean, he gives us insight that I haven't really had a chance to access to that level until being at K-State. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the reason why all those quarterbacks made it to the NFL, but it sure as hell helped, you know, and it helped their knowledge. And when they get in the room with these scouts, they get in the room with these coaches, like, okay, what are we doing here in this coverage? And, oh, I've heard Coach Klieman talk to me about this for a year. You know, that type of stuff I think does really help. And, you know, I wanted to get that knowledge from him. I think he's a really smart, you know, level good head coach, and I know he has a lot to offer his players, and I definitely want to take advantage of that.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about Deuce already, right? Deuce, we know about what he can do on the football field. You've been in practice throughout a spring now with him. What is the craziest thing that you've seen Deuce Vaughn do to somebody in the practice field?
Oh, I mean, how I like to put it, he constantly puts guys on a mixtape. So he's just duking guys left and right. Like, you try and gauge his speed, he'll go by you. He's really good at that. His balance is insane. I'd say that's a separator for him, is he's able to keep his balance in weird, like, tight situations. But also, like, he's he's our guy. So, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think he took 100% of the reps in the spring. You know, I think we were giving reps to some other guys because we know what Deuce can do.
Who else is really exciting you playmaker wise on the offense right now?
Yeah. I feel great about Phil. You know, I think Phil's a dynamic slot guy. And our receiving core, I think we're pretty deep. You know, I feel good about all those guys, and Malik's obviously, you know, a big target. And that's a guy I'm working to continue to build some more chemistry with as we get going, because I think he can be definitely a certified NFL dude.
I'm also curious, did you have any kind of relationship with Skylar Thompson or get a chance to talk with him when you were considering K-State?
Yeah, during the recruiting process, I did. I did get to talk to him a little bit, what he thought about the system. And even after, since coming to K-State, I've talked to him about the combine and talking with teams and, you know, his bowl prep. Like, I forgot what bowl he played in, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like maybe it was the Shrine Bowl or NFLPA, maybe something like that. Yeah, I talked to him about kind of what that was like, what he did to prepare you know, he's a really good dude, genuine guy. And we have a lot of shared experiences, you know, both longtime starting quarterbacks in college, gone through some injuries, battled through different things personally and whatnot. So a lot of similarities that way. And, you know, we had nothing but great things to say about the program.
I think I'd be remiss, Adrian, if I didn't ask about your offensive line as well. I mean, you were under, not to throw your line under the bus at Nebraska, but you were under a decent amount of pressure. The stats show that you were one of the most pressured Power 5 quarterbacks in the country. So, I mean, what do you make of the offensive line in front of you? You have at Kansas State, you have Cooper Beebe, who is one of the better offensive tackles in the country, protecting your blind side. Just maybe talk about that group as well.
Yeah, and that was a big selling point for me as well, you know, touching back on the recruiting process. They have some proven guys, and yeah, BB is one of those dudes. But we have some other guys along the line that are experienced and I think really talented. I think there's a chance TP or Taylor, Fortier. Yeah. I always call him TP, so I don't even know how to say his last name. But you have there's some depth there. And Duffy, and I think Gillum has a chance to be really good this year. And Coach Riley, who I love, you know, he's he's a funny guy, good coach. But yeah, that was a selling point for me as well. You know, they have some dudes who play really well in this game, great run blockers, and do a great job in pass protection as well, and make my job a lot easier.
All right. I always like to ask this to athletes, coaches, especially when they're relatively new to Manhattan, but what are your favorite spots, a spot or two, like whether it's food, drink, whatever in MHK?
So Long Saloon. I think that's, you know, automatic. I'm a big fan of Gordo's, and you know, some people aren't. I am. I love Mexican food. I think it's pretty decent. And anytime I have an opportunity to go there, I go there.
Okay. Hey, shout out Gordo's. I like Gordo's.
Shout out Gordo's. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
hey, last thing, Adrian. Again, we mentioned at the top, you have your own podcast, very successful. How do we do here? Are we adequate podcasters alongside you? Or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought you guys were going to grill me a little harder, you know, but hey, I'm not complaining.
we'll take it fairly easy for the first time. You know, once we get into the season, you know, maybe we can get a little more.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, hey, Adrian, much appreciate the time, man. Super excited to see you at K-State. Best of luck getting everything going. And hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.